Okay, but before we move on, so let's wrap up the two things we had left to do in the brachot sugya. The first, Eitan wanted us to spend a little time wrapping this up, was the question of kavana. Yes? So, if you remember, right, how did we get onto this? We were talking about the bracha on lulav. And how you, the simple read, as we said, of our Gemara is that the bracha of lulav is said afterwards. You can't do it over lasiatan. Tosfot gives several possibilities of how you could, which is either, right, holding it
Afterwards,
upside
really means
down or whatever,
during.
but one of them is negative kavanah. Right, so that's what we wanted to briefly, was to hold both the lulav and etrog in your hands. How does that allow you to do it over lasiatan? Didn't you fulfill the mitzvah as soon as you picked it up? Answer, Tosfot says, it have negative kavanah. And then we talked about all the, right, last time what we mostly spent the time on was the dure, right, is the nature of the connection of the mitzvah of nanua, of nanuim, both in halal and in general, and the question of holding it all day. In those two positions, right, we dealt with those. But let's focus on this kavanah thing, right? So Tosfot takes it as a given that the Gemara has a machloket of mitzvah tzricha kavana and mitzvah ein tzricha kavana, whether to perform, to fulfill the obligation of mitzvah, you need to have intent or not. Tosu takes it a given that even if you think you don't need kavana to perform a mitzvah, negative kavana is somehow
Enough to
enough
say that.
to prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah, even if you don't need kavana to begin with.
Right. You need
Right?
to voice this kavana or
No,
something
probably
like that.
not. So if you look here in 12, right, Rav Aaron summarizes the situation. I'm going to read through it with you. He, right, some of right there are the quotes of the Rishonim, and then his analysis. But like just to get the basics, because it's a huge. So again, I don't want to get bogged down forever, but we'll spend a little bit of time. So he notes that Rishonim Rabim kiblu et shitat haTosfot. Many Rishonim accept Tosfot's position. Hafiyish gam keila shalchalku alav. So Rabbeinu Peretz al Atar Toein Shleman Yemar Mitzvot Ein Tzricha Kavana Gam Kavanat Mefureshet Shlo Leitzei Yidei Chovah Eina Moila. So Rabbeinu Peretz takes it as a given that this is not true. Right? He says that if you don't need Kavana, then negative Kavana does nothing. Right? Now, why would you think that? Conceptually, why would you think that if you don't need kavana, that negative kavana doesn't change anything?
Because you think that now we've sectioned kavana away from this
Yeah,
action.
all right,
It's not
meaning,
an action in and of itself.
correct, meaning, what would you say? You said, I don't need kavana, so therefore, what is kavana? Right, kavana is not a halachically relevant category in terms of fulfilling the mitzvah. And if that's the case, who cares? Positive, negative, what does it matter? I said you don't need it. Right? So how would you justify Tosfot? How would you say that on the one hand I don't need kavana, but negative kavana is somehow worse? Right. So right, that's what you'd have to say. Is that according to Tosfot, like, look, when I perform a mitzvah without kavana, so like mistalba it's a l'shem mitzvah, right? Like the default is a l'shem mitzvah, but I still have the ability to say no, right? So. Right, so like, if, right, like if, right, if someone says, right, if someone is trying to be nice, right, so they give you, I don't know, an Oreo, right, an Oreo, so fine, if they do it bekavana, so it's nice, they do it, you know, not really thinking, they just give you an Oreo, fine. Right? But, like, you could understand that even if you would really feel grateful, even if they weren't trying to be nice, they were just, like, mindlessly giving out cookies, whatever. Right, no, but if they, like, gave it to you and said, ha, I know that you're celiac and this is going to give you horrible stomach pains, right, it uproots the niceness component.
What if they were doing it for more, like, an ulterior motive, like, they want you to favor them?
Sure. Well, that's what we're going to talk about later on Daf Chet, right, which is... Right, is what if I give something for an ulterior motive? But sure, right, you understand.
What if I serve Hashem just because I want him to like it?
Right. Right, but you understand, right, why negative kavana, you could disagree. Like, that's what Tosfos is clearly saying, is that no, kavana, even if I don't need kavana, it is possible to redefine the context of an act with particularly problematic kavana, right? If I do this and say, right, I am doing this, right? And right, it's like, yeah, exactly. It's like, I am doing this not because you asked me to, but despite that, right? And therefore, I will run away before you say thank you, because I do not want you to think that I am doing this because...
I'm being nice. God forbid.
God forbid, right? So, but so what's Rabbeinu Peretz's proof, though, right? Rabbeinu Peretz doesn't just say that negative kavana is irrelevant if you don't need kavana to begin with. He has a proof. So Rabbeinu Peretz, mafneu dan l'sugyav m'sechet iruvin. His proof is from a sugyan iruvin. Ha-mishna sham oseket ba-adam sh-matzah tefillin ba-sadeh b-shabbat. Gemara there has a case of someone who finds tefillin in the field on Shabbat. Hu-enu yachol la-asid ha-tefillin b-yado, machmat yisur ha-tzah. Hotzah, right? It's Shabbat, and you have tefillin, and you can't carry it because you can't carry. So what do? But you're allowed to wear them in because you're allowed to wear clothes. So datanakama hadam rashali kanez b'chol pam zug echad shel tefillin echad yadav echad al rosho. Rabbi Gamliel mafsher lachnis b'chol pam shnei zugot shnayim al yadav shnayim b'rosho. Right, and the Tanakama there says you can do one pair at a time. Okay, one on your head, one on your arm. And Shimon Gamliel says you can. Shimon Gamliel says you can do two. Two pairs in your head and two pairs on your arm. So the Gemara, Minasel Aver Mayu Soda Machloket. And the Gemara tries to figure out the Machloket. So Bishlav Rishon, they say Gemara Lavin, Shatnaim Nechlaku Bishaila Ha'im Mitzvot Sichat Kavana Olo. So Gemara's first attempt at explaining this is that maybe this hangs on Mitzvot Sichat Kavana. If you think you don't need kavana, so you don't need kavana, so then you're yotze without having kavana. And therefore, by wearing two pairs, you violate bal tosif, because the very act minus kavana.
It's
a fulfillment of the mitzvah, so therefore I do it twice simultaneously. Right. And the mandam mitzvah tzricha kavana, but if you think you need kavada, ha'adam eino yotzei yidei chovat tefillin lo kavana, because you don't fulfill it unless you want to, him nechshavim kitachshit bilvat. They're considered just a jewelry, an accessory. That's a better word. Kevan shegein in Israel neich yotzei mizug echad. Then the Gemara gives a second possibility on Tzadi Vav. The second possibility Gemara says is no. Maybe everyone agrees that when you're putting on tefillin, you don't need kavana. But the Gemara is arguing, they're arguing specifically about bal tosif, right? The prohibition to add to mitzvot. The Tanakama suffer la'avor mishum baltosif loy boy kavana. Rav Gamliel suffer la'avor mishum baltosif boy kavana. They're arguing about baltosif. Do you need kavana to violate baltosif? Right, which is a very interesting lumdish machlokin in itself, right? Because very briefly, what would you say that machlokin might be about? Or why would you say that even if I don't need kavana before mitzvah?
Well, it's shifting it from whether or not you need kavana to perform mitzvah to whether or not you need kavana to perform an affair.
But why? Because the question is, what is baltosif, right? Is baltosif just doing a mitzvah twice? Is baltosif just doing two mitzvot, in which case it has the same standards as a mitzvah?
Right.
Or is it a like rebellion against the structure of mitzvot? In which case,
it would need the intention.
Even if performing mitzvah doesn't,
right.
To violate bal tosif, right, to actively try to redefine the context of mitzvot, that requires kavana. So, Rabbeinu Peretz, what's his proof from this Gemara? So if you look, Rabbeinu Peretz, hikshu mikan al shita tosvot, amachalkim ben kavanas tamit, levin kavanas fereshet, lo let's say, right, but Rabbeinu Peretz's proof is very simple, which is if negative kavana was a thing according to everybody, then the Gemara should have brought it up. Right, the Gemara should have just said no. Why don't you just solve it with
by wearing it and then just
Correct, right? Because why does the Gemara assume that if I hold that you don't need kavana, then I automatically by Baltosev, and if I don't, it's because of a unique kavana rule by Baltosev. According to Tosfot, there is a unique kavana rule that works according to everybody in all cases of all mitzvot, and that is negative kavana. Right, that is Tosfot Rabbeinu Peretz's proof that if negative kavana was a thing, then the Gemara would solve the problem there not by saying that the kavana of Baltosev is unique, but by saying that
we didn't bring up
the that negative kavana, right? Okay, but then if you look like halfway through, but the Rav rejected this. Right, Hagrid, right, the Gaon Rabbi Yosef Dov, Dacha et Rayatel Shor Beinu Peretz. And this was the Rav's analysis. Omnam, Kavana Shlilit Pogad Bekiyum HaMitzvah, Afilu Mandi Amar Mitzvah Ein Tzrichet Kavana Kivish Tzav Ratos. He said, maybe Tosfot is right, that negative Kavana hurts, damages the ability to fulfill a mitzvah according to everybody. Even if you hold, you don't need Kavana. He says maybe there's the following lumdus, that even though everyone agrees that negative kavana works to prevent the fulfillment of a mitzvah, it works in different ways. What does that mean? Lefiman d'amar mitzvot einan tzrichet kavana. Hagavana shlilit monat raket kiyum mitzvah. Hamas adayin mugdar kama'as mitzvah. Hagemara shlav rishon manicha shekedei lavor abaltosiv dai b'ma'as mitzvah lelo kiyum. Lechena adam over abaltosiv gam kavasher haita lo kavana shlilit kevan shal kol panem ayakan ma'as mitzvah. Lumatzot l'man d'amar mitzvot tzrichet kavana. Hagavana uchilik meutim ha'agdarit ma'as mitzvah. Kasher Adam Eino Mitkavim Lekayim Nidva Maaseh Shelo Klal Eino Mugdar Kemaaseh Mitzvah Adam Gazeh Lo Kiyem En Mitzvah Umagbil Lekach Gam Lo Avar Al Baltosif. So the Rav says, I'll explain this outside now, the Rav says as follows. According to the Shita, that Mitzvot Srichot Kavana, Kavana is definitional to every mitzvah act. Yes? Therefore, what does negative kavana do? It makes it not a mitzvah. It's a meaningless act. Because if you think that kavana is definitional to the act of a mitzvah, then without kavana, and for sure with negative kavana, the mitzvah ceases to be the act of a mitzvah at all. But if you hold mitzvot ain't tzricha kavana, that mitzvot never need kavana, then can you say that kavana is definitional to the act of the mitzvah? No. How do I know? Because you don't need it. So if negative kavana nevertheless is meaningful, according to the position that mitzvot ain't tzricha kavana, the Rav argued it must be working in a fundamentally different way. It's removing the, not the maaseh mitzvah, but the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Meaning, I did the act, but I don't fulfill it. Right? So let's think of a mashal, right? Let's go back, right? So, let's give the following example. Let's say I tell Mordechai that I would like him to demonstrate his appreciation for, I don't know, we're sending him on behalf of the yeshiva to demonstrate appreciation to our donors. Okay, fine. So according to the Shita of Mitzvot Tzrichot Kavana, then in order for what the act he does to be meaningful, he needs to, and he actually has to mean that it's gratitude. If he went through the motions, right, if I task him with showing the yeshiva's appreciation to the donors, and Mordechai goes and he says, thanks. The fact that he went through the act of saying thank you is actually meaningless, right? Because mitzvah, according to this position, mitzvah tzricha kavana. Correct. According to the sheet of mitzvah tzricha kavana, essentially, if it's intrinsic, right? It's intrinsic. If I tell him to show our appreciation and he doesn't show the appreciation, even if he goes through the acts that one would normally go through when he shows appreciation, because he wasn't in the mindset, the whole thing is meaningless. That's mitzvot tzrichot kavana. Mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana would be if I tell him, listen, Mordechai, do me a favor. In order to show our appreciation for the yeshiva, please, this person hosted a bunch of yeshiva guys during the year. Can you drop off a bouquet of flowers with a little note from yeshiva? Okay? So there, if he says, mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, so if Mordechai just goes and says, here, right? Okay, so he didn't add, but in the end of the day, he dropped off the flowers, and it'll do what it's supposed to do. Right, the letter is there. They'll understand what happened. Yalla. Okay? In the first case, the lack of kavana is definitional. If he doesn't show appreciation, he didn't do what I asked. In the second case, I would rather him show appreciation. If he doesn't, it doesn't undermine it. However, if he would go and drop off the flowers, and
here, and I threw it at him and said, I hate you.
Right? And he would spit in their face and whatever when he brought the flowers. So now, according to the Shita of Mitzvot Ein Tzrichot Kavana, if I asked him, did you in fact bring the flowers? The answer would be,
yeah,
he brought the flowers. But you destroyed what? The purpose, right? You brought the flowers, undeniably, but you've undermined the purpose. So the Rav says, that's the difference between mitzvot tzrichot kavana and mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana. According to the Shita of mitzvot tzrichot kavana, I asked Mordechai to show appreciation. If he didn't, even if he did the act, he didn't do what I asked him. Because what I asked him to do was show appreciation. If you hold mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, then what I asked him to do was bring the flowers over. Where if he does nothing, he still brought the flowers over. Maybe it's not as good.
But there's still an element that can be diminished.
Correct. But if he went over and he spit in their face, and now I ask, did you bring over the flowers?
Yes,
the answer is, of course I brought over the flowers. But the negative kavana makes it that you undeniably did the act, but the act is meaningless, right? I've actively divorced the act of the mitzvah from the meaning it was supposed to convey, but the act was still done, rather than the act that I told him to do was one that required context. So now the Rav says, okay, according to this, if this is true, the negative kavana works for both shitot, but for different reasons. If you hold that mitzvot tzrichot kavana, then not having kavana is like when Mordechai went and said, thanks. Where the very fact he didn't have kavana simply undermined the act itself. That is not called showing appreciation. Whereas if you hold mitzvot ein tzrichot kavana, it's like where I told Mordechai to bring the flowers over. Where if he brought it over and said nothing, it would be fine. But if he went over and spit in their face, the fact that he went over to do the masa that I asked him to do, he went over to show appreciation and spit in their face while he was doing it. Sorry, I'm making you such a bad person. It makes it worse. But the act is done. So the Rav says that's relevant for Bal Tosef. Why? So why does the Gemara say that the question of Kavana by Bal Tosef hangs on whether the old mitzvah should Kavana, mitzvah ain't should Kavana? Because according, if you have...
It just works in reverse.
Because he says, if you hold mitzvah tzricha kavana, then if I don't have kavana, I didn't do the act of the mitzvah, and therefore I didn't do the act of Bal Tosef, because Bal Tosef requires me to do a mitzvah twice.
Right.
But if I hold that kavana isn't necessary, then the act of bringing the flowers happened. Negative kavana can dissociate me from the act, but it doesn't change the fact that the act happened.
So
Bal Tosef forbids performing the act of a mitzvah twice. Not the kiyum mitzvah, but the act of the mitzvah.
So when talking about kavana in terms of Bal Tosef, we're not talking about kavana like, I'm rebelling against God to do this extra mitzvah. We're talking about kavana to do the extra mitzvah, and therefore it's...
So his point is that therefore by Bal Tosef, it doesn't help to have negative kavana, because all that does could dissociate me from the kiyum. But Bal Tosef is about performing the act twice. And therefore, if you hold mitzvah ein shvichot kavana,
then whatever you do, it's...
Exactly. That even negative kavana, all that can do is protect me, as it were, from fulfilling the mitzvah. But it can't protect me from having done the act.
Ah, oh my God. That's...
Right, so now the grid says, Nitan lano b'pshitut al shelozu. Ilu gemara etam mefareshet shemokera diyun hu b'inyan kavana shlilit. So he says, if the sugya was about negative kavana, ilu ayta yichol lasbir al pizet amachloket at the minyan Bal Tosef. It wouldn't help for Bal Tosef. Shaharei gam yishesover shakavana shlilit pogad b'kiyum ha-mitzvah. Because even if you hold that negative kavana can prevent you from fulfilling the mitzvah, it's still an act of a mitzvah. And therefore you could violate Bal Tosef, because Bal Tosef is about performing the act twice. Doesn't matter how rebellious you are in your kavana, the point is you're not allowed to do a mitzvah twice. The act, twice. You're not allowed to change the tzura of the mitzvah by doing it twice. And therefore, befoal agmara pirshash etanem nechlagu b'sheilaim mitzvah tzricha kavana lefi hagrid. Oh, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. Oh, really? Welcome back. Where were you? Very nice. Welcome back. Lefi hagrid zoi lamasa machloket yisodid b'sheilaim masa mitzvah lo kavana mugdar kamasa. Lo, that this fundamental machloket is about whether mitzvah without kavana is defined as a masa mitzvah. Machloket zu mashmatit lo rak linyan kiyum mitzvah gam linyan Bal Tosef v'lechein zeil perish tov v'machloket atanaim v'shoneh she'peiro shetzia Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay. That was the kavana thing I wanted to deal with. Right, that even according to the shittot of mitzvot ein shvichot kavana, negative kavana function differently for the shittot of mitzvot shvichot kavana ein shvichot kavana, where for mitzvot shvichot kavana, where you think that you need kavana and it defines the act. Negative kavana makes it not the act of a mitzvah, where if you think mitzvot ain't shvichot kavana, it doesn't affect the act, it just can change the question of whether you're yotzei, but for Bal Tosef, where the prohibition is don't do the mitzvah twice, this doesn't help.
I get it now, but I know I'm going to forget it after Shir, so I want to take a picture.
Right? The negative... This is the Rav's argument, right? Is that negative kavana, what does it do? So, according to the Rav, so again, if you hold mitzvah, tzricha, kavana, that implies that the kavana defines the act. And therefore, right, either no kavana or negative kavana makes it as if the act never
happened, which implies that no Baltosif, because no, right, no to performance of the mitzvah. But if you hold Ein Tzricha, so then you have two things, right? You have the act, and you have the fulfillment, right? So meaning, the act happens.
I mean, you have two acts,
right? Or without kavana, and even negative kavana. But the fulfillment, no kavana, I still fulfill. Negative kavana, I don't fulfill. But the act still happens. And Baltosif
is defined by two acts.
Baltosif is defined as the act, not kium times
two.
Take a right? And therefore, negative kavana can't solve Baltosif. Right, so this is according to the grid, right?
This does make sense. I just really like this.
Okay? Fine. Good. Okay. 5 minutes.
5-10 minutes.
On the sukkah question, just because it's important that you know this in general, over Las Yedan on sukkah, and then we're done. The Rambam says, "Kol zman shikanes leishev basuka kol shiva mevarech kodem sheyishev baruch atah Hashem elokeinu melech haolam asher yitzenu tzivanu leishev basuka." The Rambam says that when do you make the bracha of leishev? Every time you come into the sukkah before you sit down. So first of all, you should note that this is different than the standard position based on Rabbeinu Tam, who says that you only make the bracha before you eat. Why? So we've talked about this before, but according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's probably not the case that he thinks the only mitzvah is eating, because it's clearly marred, the mitzvah is to live. But Rabbeinu Tam either holds that the way you define, you know what?
Okay. Let's do this very quickly.
So, bracha on sukkah. Okay? Bracha. Okay, so over here we have the sheet that we're not going to deal with, really, which is Rabbeinu Tam, which is only eating. In theory, you could think that that's the only mitzvah, but that's wrong. Right, this is not true. So maybe you would say that it's a din in bracha, that you need a concrete
anchor
action for bracha, right? And eating is like concrete or something. Or alternatively, the way he conceptualizes living in the sukkah is living in sukkah
includes
is basically a list of recognized
which is
life activities.
Which is sort of the din bracha answer, kind of.
Which is a little bit different, meaning it might be something as living in the sukkah, but the simple shot as we talked about in the past is, like, whenever
you go in, because the mitzvah is to live. Right, live in the sukkah, and therefore every time I go in, I fulfill the mitzvah. Right, that's clearly how the Rambam is conceptualizing it. Yes?
But what we want to focus on is not actually this machlokes of Rabbeinu Tam, but is, okay, assuming this is the case, when? So the Rambam says, before I sit down. Every time.
Before I sit down, I make the bracha. Why? So it's different. It's a mitzvah each time, but what does he imply the mitzvah is?
Sitting.
Right, that's what the Rambam implies.
So should you really just like sit up and down?
Why sit?
Like, what if I'm medically, but you shouldn't like make a
what?
If you know that you're.
So look at the Rush, right? So the Rush says, look in 14, and I'll come back to the Rive in a minute. The Rush says, "Ha'osu sukkah l'atzmo omer baruch shechiyanu nichlat leishav omer leishav asukah." Kotav Rambam zal mehilchot sukkah diyesh lekadesh meumad mishum over lasiata. How does he understand it? He says, "Why does the Rambam think you need to do it before you sit down?" So the Rush says, "Because you need." Over l'asiyato. Okay. That's why he assumes that the Rambam needs this. Right? Over l'asiyato. What's the problem? What's the implication of that? That the ma'aseh mitzvah is sitting down. And that's why saying the bracha while you're standing up is...
Once you've already done the mitzvah, and therefore...
Exactly. Once you've sat down...
One long experience in which case can just stand
still. Exactly. Ulidvarav... Hayetzorach lidvareich kodem shikonis ba da knisa hi ha-mitzvah v'lo ha-yeshiva. The Rush says, what are you talking about? If what you're trying to do is to fulfill the mitzvah over l'asiyato, say before you go in. What is this uniqueness of sitting down? Going in, being in the sukkah is the mitzvah. V'lo ha-yeshiva, not sitting. If I went in and I wanted to eat standing up, I'm going to be there all day. But I know that you lose more calories standing than sitting. So I'm standing all day to increase how many calories I burn. Right. So what? Now I don't say a bracha? The Rosh is like, that's ridiculous. Everyone understand that's ridiculous. Elavada came into the sukkah, yachila v'tiyul. So the mitzvah is the eating, is the spending time of arech achash eizem v'kishaber over l'siyatan. And therefore, if I make the bracha before I eat or hang out, I am still doing it over l'asiyatan. So what does the Rush argue? The Rush understands the Rambam is saying that what?
The mitzvah is sitting. And he says, this is wrong. The Rush,
it's being in the sukkah.
Living acts, right? And therefore I do it.
Well, no. He says that according to the Rambam, who thinks that entering the sukkah is the mitzvah, then you should say before I come in. He thinks something like Reino Tam, that you make the bracha on living acts, and therefore, before I sit down to eat, or before I sit down to hang out, the hanging out is the mitzvah. It's not as specific as Rabbeinu Tam, but it's somewhat Rabbeinu Tam-esque. He says the mitzvah is doing living acts in the sukkah, like hanging out, right? Not necessarily like Rabbeinu Tam eating per se, but living X, and therefore it is over lasiato if I just make the bracha before I start playing chess. Okay, for very theoretical MGDL guys, I know, right? But in case you want to sit down and play chess or Dungeons and Dragons or whatever. I know. I discovered this morning how much people like Dungeons and Dragons. No, I knew that already. I don't know what Dungeons and Dragons is exactly, but I know it's nerdy. I know that MGDL guys always like it. I know that during Corona, during the lockdowns, people spent way too much time on long D&D games.
What is this, Ralph?
Horrible. You can try to explain it to me at some point. Like, I understand it's some nerdy fiction game. That's about all I know. Is there more to it? I remember my first year at MGDL, I was freaked out because they were really into it and they had props. They had props. They had like swords and shields and.
That's great. I think a lot of the skills that we'll get to learn tomorrow would apply to Dungeons.
Of course it would.
Witty was scarily into Dungeons and Dragons. He barely not built up his
house. He spent every waking moment that wasn't involved with like Valhalla with making a Dungeons and Dragons thing. I would know. I was
okay. Okay. Look at the Ritva. The Ritva says something similar to the Rosh, but takes it in a different direction. The Ritva says, "She'enu tzarich levarachim umad." You don't have to make the bracha standing. Kidei shedei bracha kudem et lasiata. Kivachol amitzvot anim shachot. Kigon tefillin utzitzim utzukah v'chol yot ben af al bishitchil ben adayin nikra over lasiata. He says it's slightly different than the Rosh, because the Rosh does seem to think that the bracha is chal on specific living acts, and therefore he focuses on over. That if I sit down and I say the bracha before I start playing chess, then in some sense I've made the bracha before I do the mitzvah. But the Ritva says no. He argues with the Ritva, the Rambam, on his own terms, which is, what is the bracha? To live in the sukkah. And therefore, presumably everything I do, going in, sitting down, standing up, eating, playing chess, Dungeons and Dragons, whatever, sleeping, it's all mitzvah. So why am I allowed to make the bracha? Isn't it a problem that I'm making it not over lasiato if I do it before I sit down? He says, what are you talking about? Living in the sukkah is like every other mitzvah nimshechet. This is even more intensely continuous than wearing tzitzit. As long as I'm in the sukkah and I'm doing what I normally do in the sukkah, then I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of teishu kein daduru, of living in the sukkah. And therefore, the reason I don't have to worry about over lasiato is not because it's before any specific act like the Rosh. It's because
I don't need before because it's continuous.
Look, Bidu. All these continuous mitzvot, even if I start them, adai nikra over lasiatan, it's still considered before. As we've seen, the only thing you're not allowed to do is do it afterwards. V'loshon leishev besukah, and he says, when you say the bracha leishev, leishev doesn't mean sit. What does it mean? Live. Teishvu kein daduru means live as you dwell, like live in the sukkah. It says shetiknu bracha ain aloshon yeshiva. It doesn't mean to sit. Aloshon ikuv vidira. It means to spend time, to live. Lashon akatuv besukot teishvu.
Me'ata ha'yachol leishev v'sukah misader birchato alakos k'shiyu meshav. Shaku de v'ramam zal. And therefore, there's no problem. So say when you're already sitting down. Who cares? So it won't be before. It'll be during. And that's fine. So what we have very briefly is we have Rabbeinu Tam Shita, which we're not even dealing with, because Rabbeinu Tam thinks that you only make the bracha on very specific acts, which is either based on a wider understanding of how he understands the mitzvah of sukkah or a specific halacha in bracha. That for now is outside of our purview because we're just trying to figure out overall asiyata.
Right.
The Rambam says, do it before I sit down. Now that's a little bit weird, as everyone says, because what is the sitting? The Rosh seems to hold a variation on Rabbeinu Tam, which is that the bracha at least is chal on living acts. He's more expansive in terms of than Rabbeinu Tam in terms of what mitzvot count. But therefore, there is a moment in which I get point to over alasiyata. The Ritva says ma pitom. The mitzvah is to live in the sukkah. So why don't I have to say the bracha before I come in? Why can I say it during? Why can I do it when I'm sitting down? Because you're always allowed to make the bracha during. You just can't make it after. The Ravid seems to hold a variation of the Rush. So if you look back at the Rambam in 13, at the Ravid, Hatam ki yeshiva eina al dat achila. When he's sitting down, it's because he has intent to eat. Because man she'ino ochel over la mitzvah hu be'emet. With the Rambam. Right, the last line was the Ravid. So the Ravid seems to either hold like Rabbeinu Tam, or maybe like the Rush. I'm not really sure. But the Ravid says, why is it over l'asiyato? It really is over l'asiyato. Why? Because when I sit down, I'm sitting down with the intent to eat. And therefore, what is my mitzvah?
Sitting down to live.
Right, sitting down to eat. Well, he says eating. Does he mean eat only? Or does he mean all living acts like the Rush? I'm not really sure.
Which is epitomized.
But the point is that he thinks it is over l'asiyato because when I'm actually going in to eat, maybe it's true that if I went in to hang out, I would fulfill the mitzvah right away. But when I go in to eat, the eating is the main mitzvah. And therefore, it is over l'asiyato. Saying the bracha before I eat, even if I'm already sitting, is before. Yeah, right. That seems to be the chiddush of the Rush, is that the mitzvah I'm performing depends on what I went in to do. So the real question I just want to deal with, and then we'll finish with this, which is, okay, so what does the Rambam think? Because on the one hand, it's clear that what does the Rambam think the mitzvah of living in the sukkah is? Living. What's the proof that the Rambam, unlike Rabbeinu Tam, says I make a bracha every single time I go into the sukkah? Right. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, you could argue that he thinks that the main mitzvah is to eat, or the main mitzvah is to do living acts. Or maybe for the purpose of bracha, bracha needs expressions of yeshiva basoka that are tangible, or something like that. But the Rambam holds that you make a bracha every time you go into the sukkah. So it's clear that he thinks, fundamentally, that the bracha is much more expansive. It isn't on particular acts. Now, maybe you'll say, no, he does think it's on a specific act, the act of sitting. Oh, come on. Come on. That can't be. Why can't that be? It could be that the Rambam thinks the mitzvah is sitting. It could be. But Misvara Pshuta, and here again, Rav Lichtenstein quoted the Rav, and I don't think it's written anywhere. I just have the Masara from Rav Lichtenstein. That's why I gave it to you from him, is the Rav just assumed that can't be. The Rambam, there's no way the Rambam thought that if someone went into the sukkah intending just to stand up all day because whatever, he wants to lose calories, because he likes pacing when he learns Torah, because he has a huge sukkah and he installed a basketball hoop and he's playing basketball. Okay, that's probably a bad idea. He's playing soccer. Better. Yeah. Basketball in the sukkah, I feel like, is very, very bad.
Yeah.
You're going to, like, because first of all, you're running into the problem, because if it's too high, so it doesn't hit the schach, then you're running into the 20 amot problem.
Also, if you're doing a lineup.
Probably not 20 amot, but
if you're doing a lineup, you're going to slam into the wall.
Yeah, okay, soccer. Fine, soccer. Soccer or
I'm thinking
curling. curling, clearly. Curling. I have no idea whether you could play curling in a sukkah.
Maybe in Northern Canada.
What? Whatever. It can't be. I'm going in to spend my whole day in the sukkah. And
you're not living.
Or whatever. I've decided that I am going to eat the largest bowl of ice cream that has ever been created.
But
so I have
stand up.
Well, yeah, because I have it's a 6 foot deep bowl of ice cream, and the only way for me to get it is to stand on a chair and to stick my hand in and beating. Exactly. There's no way that the Rambam is going to say, "Oh, but you didn't sit down. The mitzvah is sitting." I mean, come on. Everyone understands that's not what the mitzvah sukkah is. Everybody gets this. Kal vachomer the Rambam, who thinks that you make the bracha even when I don't eat. Meaning it's one thing to look at Rabbeinu Tam and say he thinks the bracha is sitting, which I don't think the Rabbeinu Tam thinks that either. But the Rambam holds you make the bracha every time you go into the sukkah. Yeah. So how could he, of all people, think that the mitzvah is to sit? So here, if you look at 16, the Rav says, I grid his beer, Sharama Mikabel Tanadarash. You're right! The Rambam obviously agrees with the Rush that the mitzvah isn't limited to sitting. The Gamla Da'ato, a mitzvah yechola l'tkayim ba'amida. Obviously, the Rambam thinks you could fulfill the mitzvah of Sukkah by standing. Ha'adam ha'umeid yatsa yedei chova. Rak b'mikresh nichnas l'sukah shalom anal l'shevet ba. What the Rambam is going to hold is sort of like we said for the Raivet, is that things are contextual. Meaning, if I go into my sukkah to play a game of soccer or curling or to eat my 6 foot deep ice cream thing and I plan on being there until I finish this massive 6 foot deep, 10 foot wide bowl of ice cream. It sounds like death. You would die at some point. But assuming that's what you're doing, that is why you went into the sukkah. And therefore, what is the act of living you're doing in the sukkah?
Eating
your 6 foot bowl of ice cream standing up. Or playing soccer, or playing hockey, or playing curling, or basketball, if you could figure out how you could do it in the sukkah without destroying the schach. Or Dungeons and Dragons, a scavenger hunt. I don't know. Whatever. You're drawing murals, fine? You're drawing murals on the walls of the sukkah, so you're going to be standing all day. But you're going in to spend your sukkah drawing murals. So obviously the Rambam is going to say in such a case, the mitzvah is the being in the sukkah. Presumably, according to the Rambam, then when would you have to say the bracha? I'm not really sure. Maybe before I go in. Maybe as soon as I go in.
Maybe
something like that.
Show that your act of living, even though maybe the Rambam says that, like, whether or not you plan on actually doing anything in the sukkah, if you sit down, then you've concretized.
So exactly. So,
but if you start doing it before you start doing action while standing up, then you
exactly.
Doing
so that's what the Rav argues. But the Rav says, look, but if you're going to the sukkah to eat, like, think about it. I'll give you a mashal. I'll read you the last line. I'll give you the very simple example. Let's say I am going to my sukkah to have lunch. That's what I'm doing. You've probably done this before. You have guests for sukkah's lunch, and therefore, 20 minutes before the guests come, you go out there, you have to schlep out your extra folding chairs,
yeah.
You have to bring out the tablecloth,
yes.
You have to set the table.
It's like a custom that the kids take the chairs from the basement.
Sure, exactly. You're taking them to the basement. Or it rained, and therefore you had taken everything inside, you take it outside. The process of getting, and even if you don't have guests, but a couple of homes when you have guests, the process of getting everything into the sukkah is, it's a schlep. So why is it, so if I asked you, take a different case. You are now not schlepping in all the chairs, but you are entering in order to play musical chairs. Oh, playing musical chairs.
So if I'm going to play musical chairs and everyone is standing ready, you know, behind their chair getting ready to start the game.
I
was not going to say that.
Okay.
In that case, in the musical chair case, when have you started relating to the sukkah as the place where you live? Right before you start playing. Even though the chairs are still going to move around and you're going to move around and whatever, but you understand you're going in to play musical chairs. And therefore, at that moment, the standing before, that is already the mitzvah. Why is it the guy who for 20 minutes, half an hour is in the sukkah, schlepping chairs in, standing up, setting the table, putting in the tablecloth, putting up, why is that guy, when is that guy doing the mitzvah? We all sort of intuitively understand. When is he doing the mitzvah? No, when he starts the meal. He starts the meal. Different case. You don't have enough, make it even clearer. Avi, you don't have enough chairs in your sukkah because you have 6 chairs in your sukkah and you're having extra people there. You need 10 chairs. So you go to your next door neighbor and say, you know, I know you had guests last night. You have all your folding chairs out. Do you mind? Can I just go into your sukkah? And I'll just pass it through the door into my sukkah. Does anyone think that when I walked into my neighbor's sukkah to take out the 4 chairs, I related to walking into his sukkah as living in the sukkah?
You're really standing.
Correct. If it happened to be that my neighbor kept his extra chairs in the basement, I would never go into the sukkah. Right? Does anyone think? Right? I'll sharpen it even more. Okay. Avi goes to his next door neighbor and he says, I need to borrow 4 chairs. Now, at that point, Avi has no idea whether his neighbor currently has his extra folding chairs in his basement, in his closet, or in his sukkah. So when the neighbor says, oh, sure, no problem, Avi, come, they're in my sukkah. How is Avi relating to getting to those chairs? Is he relating to it as, oh, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of yeshiva basukkah?
No,
exactly. If they had told him that the chairs were in the closet or in the basement, then he never would have walked into the sukkah. Elamai, he walked into the sukkah because that's where the chairs were. In that circumstance, when does he start the mitzvah? So if his neighbor says, you know, Avi, you're already here. We baked unbelievable homemade Oreos. And we know how much you like Oreos. You need to try them to see how much better they are than the ones you buy in the store. And he says, you know what? I think I have a few minutes. And he takes that very same chair that he's about to borrow and take back to his sukkah, puts it down, and sits down in the sukkah and takes the homemade Oreos and dips it into a cup of milk. And has cookies and milk.
Is milk's favorite?
At that point, he fulfills Lejev Asuka and he makes a bracha. What's the difference? The difference is mindset. It's the mindset. So the Rav says, the Rambam, you're right. The Rambam doesn't think that there's a magic to sitting down. He just thinks that if somebody is planning on sitting down, I'm planning on having my meal until I set the table, put the chairs in place, put the tablecloth on the table, put down the plates. I'm not treating the sukkah yet as, I'm not yet living the sukkah, I'm just setting the table. Right? Part of my preparation takes place in the sukkah. Part of it takes it when I schlep to my extra neighbor to get extra chairs. Part of it is when I make the salad, you know, I get the salads in bowls and I get the, in my kitchen. The Rambam is making a very local point, is that the mitzvah is, or the bracha, I make the bracha moments before the act of living that I intend to do. So yes, obviously, if I plan on going to sukkah to draw murals, and I never plan on sitting down, I would make the bracha. But if contextually, I'm just setting the table, but I'm not yet... Right. Let's say I'm setting up the table and then I'm going for a walk for half an hour before I eat. I'm just setting it up so that it's ready when I get back. So everyone understands that even though I'm in the sukkah physically, I'm not relating it to it at this moment as
living the sukkah.
Exactly. And that's all he says, right? So to review this, and okay, fine. So this took the whole shir, that's fine. So again, what you have is you have Rabbeinu Tam who says you only make a bracha on eating. Either because he thinks you really don't fulfill the mitzvah without doing specific recognized acts, or maybe he thinks that a bracha needs to be chal in some concrete action. But then we have this, which is no, maybe the Ravid holds that also, but the Rambam thinks you make the bracha whenever you go in, which shows that he thinks the mitzvah is living. Even for the purpose of bracha, the mitzvah is living. So then why would you, so when would you make the bracha? So according to the Ritva, the answer is, you make the bracha, you don't have to do it before you're sitting down, you do it after you're sitting down. Why? Because the mitzvah is to live. The mitzvah is to live, then, and you hold that over means not after, but not necessarily before, so then it's during. So what's the problem? Don't get so uptight about it. The Rambam doesn't believe this. The Rambam thinks it needs to be over, it needs to be before. So the Rosh says, well, if it needs to be before, so then why do you do it standing up? Do it before you do whatever you're going to do. And if I sit down to hang out, so right before I start hanging out, before I start my chess game, I make the bracha then. So why does the Rambam think you make the bracha before you sit down? No one thinks that sitting is the mitzvah.
Right.
So the Rav argues, yes, obviously the Rambam doesn't hold that sitting is the mitzvah. So why does he say you make the bracha before sitting? Because he thinks that contextually, when I'm going in to start my meal, to sit down, or even just to hang out, right, there's that like few minutes before you're actually ready to sit down, or you're setting the table, or you're getting your chessboard, or you're getting whatever props you need for Dungeons and Dragons, which I still clearly do not understand what it is. But you get whatever it is that you need or don't need for Dungeons and Dragons. All of that is, I'm not yet relating to the sukkah, because the place I live, I'm like puttering around and getting everything ready. That's the only reason the Rambam holds you don't make a bracha until. Until right before you sit down. Because it needs to be over lasiato, and this particular case where I'm going to sit down to play a game of chess, to play a game of Dungeons and Dragons, then sure, the sitting down is the mitzvah. But not because objectively. And this is what he's saying, right? And he's saying that the Rosh thought that because the Rambam said make the bracha before sitting, that he thought that the word yeshiva equals sit. Right, and the Rav, and which is weird because isn't it reside like the Ritva? The Rav says yes, yeshiva obviously means to live. It just happens to be that if I'm going to sit and relax, then sitting in this case is the mitzvah. Right? That sitting in this case is the mitzvah. Not because it is the mitzvah, but because what it means to live is contextually defined, is dependent on what am I planning to do when I go into the sukkah. And that's why I make the bracha. Then, with that, we finish the bracha tzugya. Again, the next thing we're going to do now, tomorrow. Aleph, I have makarot sheets for you. Like I said, the three sugyot I want you to focus on. I don't really want to do the other sugya there, but if we do, fine. But the main thing, again, is reading through the Gemara, are the exemptions that are listed here exemptions from Bedikah or Biur, question one, and then the question of doing a mitzvah so that your son gets healthy, number two, and the question of Shulchei Mitzvah and Nizokin, what does that mean? That someone who's performing a mitzvah doesn't get damaged, doesn't get hurt, what does that mean theologically? Whatever.
Literally, maybe you get a protection.
I'm not really sure how many makarot I'm going to give you for that one. I'm going to give you a minimal makarot for the second topic. I'm not even sure I'm going to give you the third one. I may just send you an article that's in Hebrew just to read through, or we'll have a discussion about it because it's a lot. It's like some mix of lumdas and like hashkafa. Like, what do you think is hashkafa pratis? Right? When does it work to protect you from the mitzvah? Like, it's an interesting philosophical topic, but like, it gets a little bit, it gets broader. Okay, fine. But let's stop there.